Welcome to the Hustle and Flowchart Podcast with your hosts, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Hustle and Flowchart Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Wolf. I'm here with my co-host,
Joe Fear, because he forgot my name already.
Fear. Yeah, I forgot his name, so I had to have him fill it in for me. Today, we've got a very, very awesome guest on our show. He goes by the name of Brad Spencer. I don't know what his real name is, but that's the name he goes by. He's a digital entrepreneur. He owns 8020productcreation.com. He helps teach people how to create their own products online to create consistent cash flow. And he sold over $2 million in digital assets doing this stuff. So we're super, super excited. He's got some a cool system, a cool process that he's going to teach with us today. And I can't wait to dive in. So thanks so much for joining us today, Brad.
Hey, Brad.
Awesome, man. Good to be here, guys. I love it. I'm so pumped. You guys know how big of a fan I am of everything you guys are doing. So this is going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So let's go ahead and just, you know, we like to get straight into the meat with this show. So your website is 8020 Product Creation. And today you're talking about your three-letter checkdown to maximize success on any new project or business. This is sort of the subject line title that you suggested. So let's go ahead and dive right into this. And why don't you tell us what that means?
Awesome, man. Well, so one of the things that I like to do, like I'm a big fan of the 80-20 rule, and it's really run my life for a really long time. And you know, everything I've ever done that I've been successful at has been because I either deliberately or accidentally took advantage of the nature of that principle, which, you know, I think everybody, a lot of people know what that means. But just in case you don't, it means 20% of your efforts lead to 80% of your results. Now, a couple years back, I read a great book by Perry Marshall called 80-20 Sales and Marketing. And one of the big concepts that he was the first person I've ever read that actually had ever articulated this. But when I first heard the rule, I was like, well, what if you did 80-20 squared, which means 4%, which is 80% of, you know, of each of them. It's on top of each other, if that makes sense for everybody. 4% leads to about 64% of your results. And so what ends up happening is I kind of took advantage of that, and everything I've ever built, whether it was brokering webinars or, you know, creating products or creating webinars, creating little products, you know, whatever it was been, it's always been, what are the key things that move the ball down the field? So one of the things that I do with that is that, you know, every business really functions the same way. There's three factors that go into every business, and it's I abbreviate it as LCF, and L stands for lead generation, C stands for the conversion, and then the F is fulfillment. So one of the things you have to do with that is just remember that. And so what I'm going to talk to you guys about really is just how I do that and how I check it down. But, you know, the big thing about that is, you know, the core principle that we need to get on the record anyway, is that really 4% of what you do leads to most of your results. Now, I actually think it's more like 4% of what you do leads to like 90% of your income. Yeah. That's what I find to be true. But that's really the core that drives my business. And so everything I do is templatized, systemized, outsourced, you know, that sort of stuff that, you know, a lot of people talk about. But principle, you know, before I get started, I run through a checkdown that prevents me from getting distracted. Because you know how it is, you know, you guys, you know, learn something new and then you dive into it for a day. And then it's like, oh, crap, like I've spent like 12 hours on this and I haven't gotten anything done. I mean, I'm sure you guys have, you know, I've done that many times in my day. And so what I created was a little system to follow that kind of checks that natural exuberance that all of us as entrepreneurs have, and focuses you on the critical few, projects that actually make a difference for whatever you're trying to achieve.
Sounds good, man. Let's crack into it. And then just to recap really quick, it was lead generation, conversion, and fulfillment.
If look at every business, like look at every business. And when you break it down to the nutshell, whether it's pharmaceuticals on the one hand to like a digital product business to a local restaurant, they all have those three things in common. Every business does. And so once you get that, you can really analyze every business and kind of isolate what's the important stuff that goes into that business. How do they get customers? How do they just make people want their product? And then how they actually deliver what they said they will. You know, that's really business in a nutshell, no matter what business you're in.
Right.
At the end of the day.
I love it. That's great.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's continue then.
Sweet. So you know, the big thing with this, you know, and you know, we'll just dive into to what, you know, that's the basic idea. So once you kind of get that in your business, like everybody has like, you know, those things. And whenever you're starting a new project, whether it's, you know, doing a new launch or, you know, creating a new service, whatever it is, you know, what I always like to do, and I do this with a lot of people when they call me and they ask me for help, usually they've messed one of these things up or they don't have a good answer. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're confused or stuck, right? This is the way you get unstuck, but you basically do this before you get into something so that you don't get stuck. I mean, that's the whole idea, right? So what I always tell people to do is if you list the three things out, like how are you, you know, when you're starting a new product, like when you guys do a new course, you know, let's say you might use, how are we going to get our customers and people to see the course? Well, we're going to email our list. Okay. That's a common one, you know. Mm-hmm. How are we going to convert them? Maybe it's a sales letter. Maybe it's a KST, since you're the art of the KST, which, by the way, we're using and getting ready to launch this month.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. It's probably like the number single biggest thing I've gotten from the newsletter.
Tutorial for those who don't know.
And once you do it, we'll have to bring you back on for a case study episode.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do a podcast episode that is a KST, and then we'll sell a product on the KST. So it'll be like The Matrix or something
Some
like that.
Inception stuff. Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. So that's where I always ask people. So you guys might say, how are we going to convert a video KST, something like that? And then how are we going to fulfill? What's the mechanism where we're going to do that? So what I always tell people is list out those things, you know. And so the basic thing of the check down, this is where, you know, you use, and I'll give you guys something for the show notes so you can link to something like I'll create like a view only Google Doc or something that people can use and repeat this process. But I always have people list them out. And then I ask, you know, on a 1 to 10 scale, and, you know, be honest with yourself, where are you at with that strategy? So like what I find a lot of times, everyone's like, oh yeah, I'm really excited. You know, I want to kick butt and, you know, do this new thing and yada, yada, yada. And they're rambling on and on and on and on. And two out of the three things they've never done before. Like they're like, oh yeah, we're going to do a webinar at like $1,000 and or something like that. And it's like, have you ever done a webinar? And they're like, well, no, but I've seen all these other people doing webinars, so I'm going to do it too. Mm-hmm. And so they end up getting that distraction, right? So I always tell people, you know, rate your skills. Like if you're going to do email marketing, a KST, and then like do a class, if that was the three things that you, you know, the lead generation, conversion, and fulfillment strategies that you decided was the best one for you, rate it on a 1 to 10 scale. And so a lot of times, most people, I mean, me, I always go for, you know, stuff that I'm really good at and I just repeat it forever. But, you know, I know there's a lot of creative entrepreneurs that are all out there trying new stuff all the time, and it kind of scratches that itch. So, you know, what happens is a lot of times you might have like really good skills with two things, but not one of them. Mm. So what I always tell people is like, let's say you've got, you know, I'm an 8 email marketer. I'm maybe a 5 on, you know, doing webinars. I've done a couple of them, but I'm not great. And then like, I'm great at teaching content. Like, you know, I know you guys really are good at creating content. So You guys might give yourself a 10 there and like an 8 in email marketing, but maybe you're trying to get better at webinars. Right now you're a 5. So then what I tell people is you've got an 8, a 5, and a 10. So most people are like, yeah, let's go for it. Well, I don't do that. Hmm. I don't take on any project until I can get a 7 or higher on all three things.
Interesting.
The triple sevens. I almost gave you guys that as the name for the episode, the 777 method.
We'll use that as the image or something like that.
I just don't want Boeing suing me, you know, because they own the 777. You know, that's why I didn't. I chose
like Vegas, right? With the slot machines.
A company can own a number. I didn't know that. We own the trademark on the number 777.
Right.
I don't know. Like, you know, they got 767, 47, you know, so on and so forth. So anyways, what I do is the key part of this is just the awareness of sitting down and doing this. It sounds so simple, right? And it's something that like it's a good check valve. You know, like in football, they have like the check downs that they run through in case the primary guys are locked up with defenders. You know, and I was explaining this to somebody today, like this is the last guy, you know, the screen pass out to the running back or whatever, that this prevents you from starting something. Because the biggest thing is, you know, the things that destroy wealth, you know, I'm all about cash flow. So like, I'm not really super interested in, you know, giant windfall paydays. I mean, I'll take them when they come, but I design everything to be like a surge and residual model where you have a big surge of income whenever you promote something heavy and then
continuity consistently of some sort. Yeah.
Well, yeah, or it just consistently sells because there's traffic going to it every day, you know.
Got
so
it.
It's even it's a one sale. It's just evergreen basically, right? Mm-hmm. So
we like that word.
Yeah, I know, right?
We all do.
But that's the thing with distraction and dilution are the two things that destroy wealth, right? If you look at every business that fails, or you know, business that starts off good and then kind of loses its way, it's usually because of distraction or dilution.
Right.
And so if you use this checkdown method and you get a 7 on each of them, the odds of you succeeding in that project are almost, you know, 90% plus. Like I only say that because it's really 100%, but you know, nothing's 100% perfect in the world. So it's basically you're gonna succeed. So what happens if you're a 5 or a 3 or something and you really want to do something, right? What I always tell people is the 2 B's: buy or borrow someone else's experience. So this gives you the kind of like, you know, pressure release valve to say, okay, well, we're an eight, a 5, and a 10, let's say, in the example that I gave you a minute ago. Well, who is really good at webinars? Whose experience can we borrow, or who can we pay to consult to get like a template or a system, or you know, buy somebody's course, something like that, to raise that from maybe a 5 up to a 7. Mm-hmm. And we can use something and model it. So it's very simple. And what happens is that when you think this way, you're thinking longer term because you're taking more of a systems approach. And until you get all these things checklisted, I mean, it's not a coincidence if you think about it that nuclear power plants, airplanes, nuclear weapons, all these things are run on checklists. You know, I don't know if you guys have read the Checklist Manifesto, but
Yeah, we have it on his bookshelf.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the same principle, right? Like everything is run on checklists and there's a reason. And this is like really kind of a check on that natural exuberant energy, especially for us younger guys. It seems to be more common with us younger guys than older guys. I don't know if it's true, but, you know, I'm actually very, you know, when people used to approach me with brokering, one of the reasons why I was pretty good at it is because I did stuff like this with, you know, webinars or whatever deals I was working with, and everybody thinks their thing is the best.
Right.
And if you don't think it's the best, you shouldn't be selling it. So like I automatically disqualify anyone who doesn't think their product is the best at what it does, right? Because it's like, then why are you selling it if you don't think it's the best? Mm-hmm. And why would anyone else think it's the best?
Well, it's a waste of time all around for you.
Yeah. Exactly. So, but at the same time, that's why I would do, and I would go through these types of checkdowns to try to see where the weak spots actually, when it comes, you know, rubber meets the road. And this is the kind of stuff I do. And this is what I do for all projects. This is an automatic company-wide policy. You know, until we're 777 or higher, we find something else.
So question really quick on the rating. Because 1 to 10, let's just be honest with ourselves here, that most of us will probably rate ourselves higher than we really should on certain aspects.
Right.
Do you have some metrics? So like 5 is like a, you know, that you want to, I'm sure in a worksheet or something that you have for yourself, but like the increments of, so people kind of know, okay, maybe I am actually a 2 and not a 5 on this thing.
Well, I'll say this, like 5, like for me, I don't have like specifics on stuff like that because I don't get that granular on these things because I inherently, like, I'm brutally honest with myself.
I was going to say, you're just very honest. So.
I mean, I'm just ruthless because like all I care about is results. I mean, like, I'm a good guy. I love to laugh and have fun. But when it comes to like, it's very ruthless on point, you know, because I don't want to let anybody down that I'm working with. And I always work with somebody, so I have to be ruthless on myself. So what I pretty much do is, I consider a 5 like we've done this before, but we haven't quite got the mojo down yet. And it's more about confidence, because once you've done something once, it's not hard to get the first one out the gate. But then as soon as you analyze it, you know, we use some of Russell Brunson's stuff. We use a guy named Jermaine Griggs, who's out actually your area of the country. I think he's up in like Orange County. Really good guy.
Okay.
Good Infusionsoft, real big automation guy. I think I forget his website off the top of my head. But we've used both of those systems and kind of integrated it into our templates. And so what I kind of do is like 5, we've done it a couple times, so we don't have the mojo yet. Like I would say a 7 is, hey, we got a template that we've tested and consistently are improving on. And then like a 10, it's like, hey, like we write a KST and we're going to crush, you know, like, I mean, it's like that. That's the feeling I get. It's really like, I don't look at like, oh, what's the difference between a 5 or a 6, because like, then you're missing the point. It's like principle over the actual, you know, cause there's no objective, like what's a 5 or a 6 or a 7 or whatever. Right. And that's just kind of how I think of it. And you kind of know, like when you're honest with yourself, and I mean, especially when you're focused on results and you're not like addicted to the rush of trying new things all the time. I mean, you kind of transition out of that phase of, a newer entrepreneur, to someone who's like, okay, look, I want to produce this much money. I have a goal every month, and et cetera, like that. When you actually run a business based on metrics, you'll kind of know this inherently. So like I noticed for me, I just said this, and I don't want to butcher my own quote, but if it's easy to run, lots more will get done. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I run things. So when things are easy, I find like for myself that I get like, you know, every time things get easier, like I don't increase incrementally, I increase by an order of magnitude. Mm. Right. So like with webinars, it's like, okay, what's in the way of this being easy? And I'll just start listing bottlenecks. And that's how I actually go from like a 5, 6, 7, like when I buy somebody's thing or I consult, I always kind of say, well, why am I not feeling in flow with this? What's confusing? What's the problem? And then I'll go hunt. So then I go bird dog for someone who's already done that, and I can model and say, hey man, you know, with webinars, like I'm really having trouble filling out like my decks. Like, you know, my webinars, like I just hate PowerPoint. It sucks. You know, mm-hmm. I'm slow. Do you have a way to kind of like 80-20 this so I can get it done and make it look nice but not be like a fancy PowerPoint expert? And usually you hit somebody up and they're like, oh yeah, dude, and they shoot you a video or something, and then you're done. So
yeah,
that's how I implement this.
Cool. So what I want to do real quick is I want to kind of do a real quick recap of your sort of three-step process here. And then Joe and I sort of have some slightly off-topic questions that we're going to dive into with you that we're going to start doing on future episodes as well. But so just the quick rundown of your process here. So step one, we're going to list out these three things, right? One, how is this new company going to get customers? One, how are we going to convert them? Or, you know, two, how are we going to convert them? And three, how are we going to fulfill on that? Right?
Yep.
So that's exactly. Step one. Anything that I'm missing about that, or is that pretty much the quick overview? Just kind of
that's the quick overview.
Creating a list of those three things: how we're going to get customers, how we're going to convert them, and how are we going to fulfill them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. So phase two, we're going to rate the probability of success of each of these ideas.
Yep, 1 to 10.
So we're going to go through basically the list we just created in step one, and kind of work through the probability of each of these.
One, we suck, never done it before. 10, like I got this on lock.
Got it.
That's it. Yeah, that's the idea.
Cool. And then that final phase is you got to be ranked 777 across customers, conversions, and fulfillment.
Yeah, and then you don't take anything on. And if you're not a 5, if you're not a 7 or higher in something, all you got to do is go buy or borrow someone else's experience. Buy or borrow. That's the two B's. Buy or borrow.
Examples of that. Let's say how we'll get customers. You know, what is one way to buy or borrow? Just kind of.
So with getting customers, you know, like if you like, let's say, you know, you're like, hey, I want to do email marketing, but maybe you don't have a great list. So you might go pick up somebody's course or hire a coach on like how to run Facebook ads and build a list. Mm-hmm. If you do have a list, but you're not very good at sending traffic with it, maybe you buy some or hire somebody or buy a course on email marketing and how to get more people to click on your emails and care about what you're saying. Build a better relationship. So that's where the buy or borrow comes in. But it's you know, what I find is that when you ask about that and you say, well, what's in the way of me, you know, getting really good at this? What am I confused about? And you get very specific, like, oh, I don't really know how to write emails consistently. They take me, you know, 4 hours to write an email. So you might go out and find a course on like cookie cutter emails where you can get like practice and more reps down, or you hire a coach who can help you write faster, you know, without writing those like 20 page long emails that some people write that nobody reads. Right. So it's the more specific you get on why you're not a 7, the more you can actually go buy and borrow someone's experience. And the funny thing is, the more specific of a question you get with this, like if I hit you up and say, hey, you know, Matt, I'm trying to like get, you know, KSTs out the window. Like, do you have like a guideline for how long they need to be before you actually link to something? Oh no. Or I might say, hey, I'm trying to figure out how to get good images for my KST. You know, do you have any sites that I could find for like stock images for the site or something like that? You're probably going to be like, oh yeah, dude, go here. This is where I go. I buy them all here. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas if I say, hey, how do I do a KST? You're going to be like, I don't know. Like, I'm going to go read my blog post. Yeah. Right. Like, you're not going to get into detail.
That's, go buy issue that's, number one of the Evergreen Profits letter.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
That's probably legitimately what I would tell people if they want an in-depth answer on how to build a KST.
Now, I taught it. Man. I taught it. There you go. I don't need to repeat myself.
Awesome. So quick question. I was thinking about this as Matt's little son is looking at us through the window. Is how do you implement this in your personal life? or do you?
I absolutely do. So I don't obviously use like LCF because I don't need like lead generation in my life. Pretty good thing. But what I really do is
we have friends that still do though.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, what's funny about it is the biggest part where that translates out of this system into like personal life or your health or whatever is I always like to try to get things down to like three key factors. Again, it's 80-20, you know, so you really answer, you know, really get in. And when you really know a subject, you'll know there's only three or four variables. Like health, it's like, okay, you eat good, you have a decent exercise plan, you drink plenty of water and you sleep, and odds are you're going to be in the top 10% of people healthy-wise,
right?
If you eat good and all those things, right? So there's four key factors there. So that's where I always go. But then like I'll ask myself, okay, well, maybe I don't know a lot about sleep and I end up staying up till 4 a.m. every day and I get up at 7 and I'm tired all the time. So I might be a 3 in the sleep department. So then I'll say, well, why am I struggling with sleeping? What do I need? Why I have this, and this. Or, you know, I my mind races at night, you know, because I get nervous about what's going on the next day. So I have trouble sleeping. So then you might hire a coach who is like a sleep therapist, you know, to go from a 3 to a 7, you know, and you know, that's where it wouldn't be maybe 777s. It might be 4 7s, you know, and that's the kind of stuff where the whole point of the 1 through 10 part is one, to get brutally honest and then also see like, okay, what's the things in the way of me being higher? So like, you know, I'm very big on instead of saying, hey, I want to end up here, I need to grow and learn a bunch of stuff, I'm always saying, what's in the way of me already being there? Right. Whenever I have an outcome. So it's like a reverse engineering the outcome. So like I believe honestly with all of my being as a person that I have everything I already need. I just don't know it yet. Or I've got stuff in the way that's preventing me from like achieving or seeing what I already have. So like, you know, the reason I'm not a billionaire is because there's things in the way. I mean, that's a ridiculous example, but it illustrates the point. Maybe it's because I don't know what those guys are doing to build businesses that big. You know, it could be a million reasons. But when it's something specific and you say like, well, I want to sleep well, I need to read books. Well, no, that's not what it is. If you eliminate the factors that are in the way, which is a very 80-20 type concept, you know, you rack the shotgun, as Perry Marshall says in the book, you'll find that there's only a couple key factors that are getting you away from what you want, whatever the topic is, whether it's, you know, finding a good spouse or, you know, having a better marriage or being healthier, whatever it is, there's only a couple things that are in the way. And the more honest you are with yourself, you probably already know what they are. Most people actually do when I bring this up.
And most likely it's not a big radical shift anyway. It's usually just a small tweak.
It's like, hey, go to bed earlier, don't drink caffeine after 4 o'clock, maybe stuff like that. I mean, you know, it might take a while getting used to. Like, I mean, like a couple years ago I lost a ton of weight by getting rid of sugar, and for me it was not drinking sodas and like going, you know, I started out hour by hour because I used to love and be addicted to Coca-Cola. You know, I would stop drinking Coke for an hour, and then I made it 2 hours, and then it was 3 hours, and then 4 hours, and so on and so forth. And then I tracked all my food. You know, I wrote down every single thing I consumed, and I was like, man, this is gross. I don't want to drink Coke anymore. And boom, I stopped doing it. So it's little things.
Cool.
Little things.
Did you want to hop into a question here, Matt?
Yeah, I want to. Well, I think we're ready to shift gears a little bit into sort of our final questions.
Let's just jump around. That's how we do it.
All right, cool. So this is a question that we want to start asking our guests, and you're our first guest that we're experimenting with this question on.
Question scary, man. I'm scared.
All right, so here's the question. What is one thing that you feel that you are world-class at that has allowed you to do what you do in your business? Like what do you feel is the one biggest sort of X factor that you have going for yourself over sort of other entrepreneurs?
I'm the best alchemist. I can take two things that people don't see related and figure out a way to relate them together in almost like a neural network, and come up with ideas and synthesize stuff out of thin air. So if you give me an audience and a problem, I can create an offer within an hour that would solve that. Like, so I'm an alchemist. So everything I do, I'm not actually very good at anything. To be real honest with you, like as far as like technical things, like, you know, I'm not great at WordPress or I'm not great at, you know, recording videos. I'm always the last guy to learn how to do certain technical things or whatever that most people associate with marketing. But what I am good at is seeing value where nobody else does. You know, I see the diamond in the rough. And I mean, it's as crystal clear as night, you know, crystal clear as the sky being blue. Like I just look at stuff and see things nobody else does. So when I walk into businesses,
Is that like an awareness thing? or
it absolutely is. It's also looking for the best in people and the things. So like, you know, I'm inherently an optimist, but I'm also very pragmatic. So those two things put together make me see things that nobody else does. So then like if I come in, like if I was working with you guys for a day and just watching, there'd be things that I would just notice that you guys probably, because you're in it every day, mm-hmm. I'm able to really kind of be that like observer, fly on the wall, whatever you want to think of it like, and just kind of float there and see what's going on and say, well, what if we did blank, blank, and blank? And I ask things a certain way so that, you know, I can kind of inceptionize like ideas into people's brains and then make it their own. And so then I, you know, that's kind of how I negotiate and get everything that I want. Is it's always like, you know, I mean, even like with what I do with the newsletter, like I want the newsletter, I always, you know, take my goofy pictures with it, and I do it for a reason, because I want it to have that association of like fun, valuable, easy to implement, you know, and right. I'm completely aligned with you guys. So I do that on purpose so that if someone sees my Facebook post, whenever, if they don't know you guys maybe necessarily or know you very well, then they're like, oh, Brad thinks these guys are pretty cool, you know, boom, right. you know, these guys are like Brad, you know, fun, happy, nice guys, you know, so it's like that. But I'm an alchemist 100%, not better than anyone.
And just to give some like context around why I was asking that question is I want people who listen into our podcast who listen to sort of your business and go, so that's what Brad does. How do I do what he does? I'm inspired by him. I'm excited about what his business is. How do I put myself in a position where Brad is? Right. So by asking the question it is asked, it kind of points people in a direction of, if you want to be where Brad's at and you want to do what Brad's doing, here's kind of what he feels is the X factor that's gotten him to where he is today. Right. So that's kind of the context behind why I asked that question and how I think that would benefit the audience. So with that in mind, what mm-hmm. you just said that you're good at, you know, being that alchemist, being that person who can find two seemingly unrelated things and tie them together to, you know, make a business out of them. What would you say would be something that someone should try to learn or research or dive into to sort of acquire a similar skill set?
Well, it really is simple, and it starts out with the LCF. Like, I actually have a lot of content on LCF because that's like one of the core mental models that I teach people, like when it comes to business. And I mean, I've owned restaurants, I've sold cruises, I've done a lot of things outside of, you know, the internet stuff that people know me for. And I consult with a lot of other companies outside of IM and whatever, so I don't really list those for various reasons. But one of the things that everything I look at when I look at a business is always LCF. If I can't find the LCF, or you can't tell me what it is, then you don't know what the heck you're doing, and we have a bigger problem of what you think the problem is. So like the first thing I ever come in with somebody is I say LCF. So like, let's say you're an ad agency guy and you're like, oh, I don't want to be an ad agency guy because I don't want to do a service agency anymore because I'm sick of, you know, dealing with customers who pay me late or something like that. You know, you might say, okay, well, I can get traffic. So maybe you would partner up with somebody who knows how to convert and convert people and is like a salesman. And then you find people who have products that are already fulfilling and, you know, customers are having success with, and you drive the traffic. Your partner is the sales guy who can convert those people into customers. And then the guy you work with, a third person who actually delivers the goods on whatever the problem that you're solving, that product's whatever problem that product is solving. So the thing is that when you look at business and you say, how do you implement like what Brad does, is, you know, one of those three things you need to become good at. If you're good at one of those things, you can make as much money as you want. If you can get two of those things, like lead generation and conversion or lead generation to fulfillment, you can be very rich. If you can get all three, you can be ungodly wealthy. And that's what you see people like, you know, Warren Buffett kind of wealthy. They own all three very well, and they're very successful, and they have a lot of leverage as well. That's the other thing when, you know, wrap around this is leverage. So, that's the biggest thing is specialize. Don't try to be a little bit of everything. Partner with people who have the other stuff that you have, because it doesn't matter like if you do it or somebody else does it. That's the other thing too. Like, I don't do everything. I don't believe in doing everything. I give away a lot of percentage of businesses so that I can focus on the couple things that I'm good at. And then that allows me to scale. So instead of one deal, I have 10.
Yeah.
But I make more in absolute terms. And relatively speaking, I give up a little bit to get a lot more.
Smart.
So that's really what I would say.
There's an analogy too. There's something I heard recently where you shouldn't try to be the hammer, you know, or try to basically create yourself as multiple hammers looking for the nail, rather than, you know, you should be one really freaking good hammer and looking for all the nails. So just being good at really one skill set, Like that is your absolute superpower. And then you're going out there, and this is what Warren Buffett's all about. He's constantly reading, constantly learning, and looking for that perfect deal, because there's always opportunities and shit around you flying around. But your task is to be diligent enough and hold yourself back enough for that one perfect thing that you could just crush.
Let's switch
a gear very quick to a few last questions just to wrap things up.
Sure.
So, is there one piece of software or a website or some kind of app that you use on a daily basis that's either essential to your business or to your life that you want to recommend?
I have a lot. I really have a lot. I mean, you know, it's funny because like Asana runs a lot of our stuff. I mean, we use Slack, Asana, we use Slack for, you know, team communication. A lot of that's automated by my partner, so I don't even handle a lot of the VAs anymore. He handles all that stuff. I'm a big Google Docs guy. Like, it's weird. Like I wireframe pages in Google Docs, like using their drawing functions. I mean, I really can't do anything. So like, you know, between Graphic River or Thrive theme or the marketplace, Envato, all those sites, you know, like Graphic Rivers and all that stuff. Like I just take that stuff and I start fiddling around, because when it gets past beyond typing and taking screenshots, I really don't have those skills, right? So I have to like draw boxes and, you know, I'll go Google image searches and stuff. So I use the most rudimentary tools in marketing, and I just find like ways to use them 100 ways instead of like learning one thing for one thing and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, we actually have a very similar approach. Like, if you put a gun to my head and said, what's one tool that you had to use on the internet and I'm taking everything else away, it would probably be the Google Drive suite of tools.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I use the Google Sheets. I use Google Docs. Like, our business is run in that sort of Google Cloud environment. So
that's what we're looking at right now.
We're with you there. And I'm very old school, too. I take a lot of handwritten notes as well. But
well, yeah. And then there's that. I mean, like I if you saw my office right now, I'd look like, you know, instead of, you know, Howard Hughes with his weirdo stuff, like I'm like Howard Hughes with legal pads. Like I got like probably like 20 legal pads of like little ones, big ones, white ones, yellow ones all over the office. And I got a big bin of them over here. I buy them at Costco, like a manic psycho, you know, but I go through them. I just sit out on the porch and, you know, have a beer if it's the evening, have some water or coffee during the day, and I'll just sit out and doodle. And I draw out a lot of things by hand. Like I flow chart a lot of things and then draw arrows, and then I test things, and, you know, I explain it to people verbally, and if they don't get it, then I'm like, okay, well, maybe I need to redo this somehow. So yeah, that's how I do. I'm very ghetto, like 1950s style technology, except typewriters.
Keep it simple. Yeah.
Cool. Well, we got about 2 more minutes left. So rapid fire last couple questions here.
Sure.
What is one book that you reread each year? And it doesn't have to be a book. It could be a documentary. It could be a training course you go through, something. What is one thing that you reconsume every year because you find it that important?
There's a lot of them. I have a list of them on my iTunes, but
it's got to be something that rises to the top.
The first one that comes to mind. Yeah.
Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill.
Outwitting the Devil. I have not read that.
I haven't read that one either. Awesome.
Yeah. Do not read it. Listen to it on audiobook. The voice actors, it's an interview product, so it doesn't land like the art style. You have to listen to it verbally or it doesn't land the right way as if you're reading it, because it's an interview between Napoleon Hill and the devil. It's a really neat concept, but the actors they chose are like out of this world for the narration. So it's literally like, oh my God, this could be a movie and it would be amazing. So get the audiobook.
Awesome. So, all right. Last question. Let's see. Oh, this is an easy one. This is my favorite question to ask anyone. What's the one question that we, or really anyone, should be asking you that most people don't?
I would say that anytime anyone approaches me, the question you should ask me is what would make this a win-win deal? I'm always looking for win-win deals. So like if you want something from me, I don't mind giving it to you. In fact, I want to give it to you. That's my mentality, because, you know, the more you give, the more you get. So if you ask me for something, all you have to do with me is ask me what I need and be willing to trade value for value. I don't look at the price of things. I look at the value of everything. So what might be valuable to me might be easy for you, and vice versa. And so we pair up, and a lot of value is created because we solve each other's problems. So just ask, you know, how to create the win-win deal.
Hey, let me ask you a follow-up question.
Mm-hmm.
How do we create a win-win deal from this conversation?
That's actually really good. So you know, I'll be shameless and say, you know, eventually I want to have a repeat episode here and be like a guest expert, like, you know, Howard Stern has his couple extra people in the there studio all the time. I want to be like the third person who does content with you guys regularly.
And you want to be our Baba Booey?
I don't know. I just want to do more stuff with you guys, and we'll create some content and promote each other. So yeah, that's the win-win deal.
Awesome. I think that's a deal. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So this is literally the absolute final question.
we promise.
I promise. Where do you want people to go after listening to this episode? You mentioned, let's see, what was
8020
productcreation.com. Is that where you want people to go and check you out after they listen to this?
Yeah, go there. I'll give you guys a link for a special something that I'll make for the listeners of this, so you can put it like in the show notes or something like that. I don't have the actual hyperlink right now, or I would say it verbally, but I'll create something for that. But right now, just go to 8020productcreation.com. Check out my stuff. I'm going to have a lot more offers there coming up over time. I got a list of things that I've been creating for a while, and we'll get them out there. And it's all stuff that you can implement. I'm all about implementation, not about fluff. So if that's what you want, I'm your guy.
Awesome.
You are the man. Thank you, Mr. Brad.
Rock on. Thanks awesome. For joining us.
You rock.
Absolutely. Right. See ya.
Great chat. See
you. Hey, thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. Now, if you don't know already, myself and my partner, Joe Fear, every single week, we put together this killer weekly newsletter that's completely free. If you go to theweeklyprofit.com, you can get on this weekly newsletter. And what we do with this newsletter is we scour the internet. We read every piece of content, listen to blog posts, check out new software and tools. And we distill down the best of the best into a weekly newsletter and deliver it directly to your inbox every single week. So head over to theweeklyprofit.com and make sure you're signed up to receive that weekly newsletter. You're going to love it. Thanks so much again for listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. We'll see you in the next one.